I'm Dave Hill, and this week on The Novelizers, you get me, Dave Hill, mentioned earlier, plus Daniel Ramirez. Let's do this. I always like to add the explosions.
I joined you on the explosion this time. It just seems so fun.
Thank you, yeah. I don't know if we have it in the budget, but I'm glad you did. Welcome to The Novelizers, the podcast where we take classic films and then get comedy writers to turn them into hilarious audiobooks narrated by awesome people. Steven, who do we have on the show today?
We got you, Dave.
No way.
Yeah, we got you. You're an author.
I am.
Comedian.
Yeah.
Actor. Rock star.
Yep.
Fashion icon.
Yep.
Host of The Novelizers podcast. Should I go on?
You could, but that's good for now.
All right. We also have Daniel Ramirez, an improv performer living in Ohio, another Ohioan.
Wow, I'm from Ohio. So are you.
Me too. It helps get you in. Well, is that nepotism? Yeah. It's regionalism, I guess.
Yes, regionalism. Love it. It made me go like, I've never heard of regionalism, but yeah. I like it. I like that it could be a thing.
Let's start it. It's a new thing. It's a new form of discrimination. We've spent the whole season novelizing the Chris Nolan film, The Dark Knight. And we're finally reaching the final scene, which you novelized. So as an expert on the scene, what's going on with Batman and his buddies?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. This time around, Batman takes the blame. Harvey goes down as a hero. Alfred burns Rachel's letter rather than letting Bruce see it. And Lucius destroys the tech Bruce had built. Me? That's me, Dave. Novelize me. It's exciting.
Very exciting.
It was almost the end of the movie. Or almost the end of the novel, I mean. Whatever. Anyway, it was really dark outside. Shit was literally on fire. And everyone was basically freaking out, only in like a calm sort of way where they were mostly just standing around wondering what the hell to do next. It was kind of like when you're waiting forever for an Uber and the driver cancels without warning and you feel like jumping off a building at first, but then you just go ahead and order another Uber instead. Also, Dent was dead and just laying there on the ground all bloody and stuff, which made things even weirder in that way that bloody dead bodies tend to do. Welp, looks like Dent is dead, Gordon said before taking a bite from a slice of pizza he had been carrying around in his pocket for just such an occasion. Yeah, Batman said in that creepy, breathy voice he uses all the time for some weird reason no one will ever understand in a million trillion years. My bad. No apology necessary, Gordon replied before putting the rest of the pizza in his pocket. The guy was a real jerk. Big time, Batman said, and he was about to murder your son too, which is super uncool. I mean, it's like, who does that? Then Batman went and adjusted the crotch area of his tights right in front of everybody as they had gotten all bunched up while he was murdering Dent. Anyway, what I wanted to say was you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, Batman then said, trying to distract Gordon and his son from the fact that he'd basically been tugging at his balls for a solid 2 minutes at least. I can do those things because I'm not a hero, like Dent. I killed those people. So yeah, I'll just, you know, go do that. Wait, what? Gordon's son Jack asked. Are you talking about whatever the hell that weird thing was you just did with your crotch? No, I just mean like, sure, whatever, Dent was a total dick, but why not just make him out to be a hero? Batman replied. And then I can be the bad guy, even though basically everyone knows I'm totally amazing. Especially your mom. What the hell are you saying, Batman? Gordon said, leaning in for emphasis. Did you fuck my wife? Whoa, Gordon, watch your language in front of the kid, Batman replied. I just meant I think Jack's mom, your wife, is intimately familiar with my career because she reads a lot. Or I assume she does anyway. She just seems like a smart lady, that's all. Okay, sorry, Batman, Gordon said. I just didn't like what you seemed to be implying.
I totally get it, Batman replied. I gotta admit, though, she is pretty hot. Smoking hot. In fact, God forbid you two split up for some reason. Let me tell you, I'll be in there like...
Dude, what the fuck? Gordon said frustratedly.
What did I say about swearing in front of the kid? Batman warned. Anyway, I'm thinking now I'll just get out of here, I guess. I'll ride off on my motorcycle with the implausibly wide tires. You freak out, get the cop to chase me for a bit like it's a big deal, and we'll just call it a day.
You can't be serious, Gordon replied.
Serious as a grown man dressed as a bat, Batman said with a chuckle. Oh yeah, and get some dogs to chase me too. Barking dogs whose tolerance for bullshit is basically zero. Trust me, it'll look cool. Very cinematic.
Fine, Gordon said, clearly starting to get pissed. Any other requests now that I have to go find some dogs that can apparently just bark on cue to chase you for some reason, you goddamn weirdo?
Yeah, Batman replied while tugging at his crotch again. How about you give me your wife's phone number?
You son of a...
Gordon said, lunging at Batman. Calm down. It was a joke. Seriously, though, I want you to give a speech and say something about how Gotham doesn't get the hero it needs, but the hero it deserves. Or whatever, maybe the other way around. Just work hero in there a lot and make it sound cool. You'll come up with something.
Is that all? Gordon asked.
I'm glad you asked, Batman said, leaning in for emphasis. You should also say something about how I'm the Dark Knight.
Huh? Gordon asked confusedly.
Me, I'm the Dark Knight,
Batman clarified. Wait, I thought Dent was the Dark Knight, Gordon said.
Nope, it's me now. Just let me have this one. Say it. Say I'm the Dark Knight. Come on, I need this.
Okay, fine, whatever, Gordon shrugged. You're the Dark Knight. I mean, I guess. I have to rent dogs all of a sudden. I may as well go ahead and call you the Dark Knight while I'm at it, even though it honestly makes zero sense to me.
Great, Batman said while hopping on his motorcycle. So, you got any questions for me before I split?
I do, actually, Gordon said, softening a bit. Why do you talk in that weird, breathy voice all the time?
What weird, breathy voice?
Batman asked. That one, Gordon said. The one you're talking in right now, the weird, breathy voice that's almost impossible to even understand unless you're standing right in front of you and there are no other noises or distractions around. The kind of voice no one actually uses unless their intention is to sound like some sort of pervert.
I have no idea what you're talking about, and I both resent and am aroused by the implication. Okay, now give me like a 2-minute head start and you can get the cops and dogs to start chasing me. Cool?
Fine, Gordon sighed. Just get out of here already.
All right, Batman said. Just promise me you'll tell your wife I said hello.
Would you please stop talking about my wife? Gordon said. Our kid is literally standing right here.
All right, fine, Batman replied. Time to hit it, I guess.
Bye, Batman. I mean, Dark Knight, Jack said, suddenly perking up again after just standing there saying nothing for the last several paragraphs.
Call me Dad, Jack,
Batman said before leaning over to tousle the kid's hair. I swear to God, Batman, I'll... Gordon began.
Sorry, couldn't resist,
Batman said with a laugh before speeding off. Batman got about 2 blocks before he hit a red light and was forced to hit the brakes. It was at this point that the guy in the car stopped next to him at the light, rolled down his window, and leaned out for a closer look. "That you, Batman?" the guy asked.
"No,"
Batman said, still staring straight ahead.
"I'm the Dark Knight."
"What do you mean?" the guy asked. "You saying you're the Dark Knight like it's evening and it's hard to see outside? That kind of Dark Knight?"
"No," Batman replied, clearly frustrated. "It's Knight with a K."
"Oh, I get it," the guy smiled. "You mean like in chess, you're one of the black pieces that's the knight, right?"
"No," Batman grunted. "That's not what I meant. Not at all."
"Well, you can't blame me for jumping to that conclusion," the guy said. "I mean, someone says Dark Knight with a K, I'm thinking he's got to be talking about chess."
"Well, I wasn't,"
Batman replied, just trying to end the conversation. So, yeah, have a nice night, random guy at stoplight who won't shut up for some reason. Surely you've at least played chess before and know what I'm talking about then, right? The guy asked. The Dark Knight, the one on the black team. That's you, right?
Oh my god! Batman yelled. How are we still talking about this? Just forget it already!
Then Batman sped off really fast before getting caught two blocks later at the next light. The guy in the car at the last stoplight ended up pulling up right next to him at that light, too, and Batman was forced to sit there on his motorcycle, staring straight ahead while pretending he didn't realize the same guy was there at the light with him again. Hey, look! It's the chess guy again! The guy yelled out the window. How you doing, Dark Knight?
Fuck you! Batman said before speeding off. Fuck yourself straight to hell.
In the background, you could hear dogs barking, but they were just dogs in a nearby backyard and had nothing to do with the barking dogs Gordon was currently on the phone trying to order for later, even though it's almost impossible to rent dogs, especially trained barking ones, that late at night. Thank you, Dave Hill. Really tough booking. And we'll be back with more novelizers right after this.
Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.
And we're back! Each week, we talk to someone who actually worked on the film The Dark Knight. Not sure how we get them. That's not my problem. But let's hear that interview.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the interview portion of The Novelizers. I am Kevin Carter joining you again today. We have a special guest with us today. We have the guy by the name of Buddy. I'm sorry, I didn't get... What's your last name?
Oh, no, that's just it. It's just Buddy. Just Buddy.
It's just Buddy?
Okay. Yeah, just Buddy.
We have Buddy. Buddy here today, and he is the pre-sound effects artist.
Yeah, that's right.
So for the people who don't know, what is a pre-sound effects artist?
That is a great question. I get it a lot. And basically, I help in the editing process by being right over the shoulder of the editors and providing them an idea of what the sound effects is going to sound like before they've actually gone and created the sound effects. So if there's like a fight going on and, you know, they're throwing fake punches and they're not really hitting each other, but when Christopher Nolan wants to go and see that back to actually really get an idea of what this movie is going to sound and feel like, I'm over there, over his, over Christian's shoulder, and I'm going, whoopsh,
Okay, yeah. Hold on. So I think I get it. So you're putting in the sound effects before the sound effects people actually do it.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
That seems like a, if I can be candid right now, if I can be honest.
You think it's a waste of time?
I think it's a waste of time, but I'm not in your position, right?
No.
So help me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Help us understand.
People don't understand that movies sometimes have like oddball jobs, right? You know, George Lucas famously had a pre-sound effects artist on Star Wars for lightsaber sounds.
Okay.
And it was only until that artist went, what if it was like before that, he was wanting it to sound kind of like you know those toys that you go like
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so they ran through a lot of different sounds. That was a little bit of my inspiration. Star Wars was one of my favorite movies. So when I found out there was a role, I said, I got to be that guy.
So when did you know like you had the skill set to do something like that?
When I was little, my parents would be, you know, mid-fight, and I'm just trying to, you know, tunnel vision, watch TV, turn up the noise real loud. Mm-hmm. Eventually, if it was too loud, they'd come in there, they'd be say, hey, buddy! Buddy, shut it off. So I'd mute it, but I still wanted to know what was going on. So that's where, you know, I'd be watching like a Western and be like, oh, those horses, they probably like.
Okay. As you were telling that story, I thought you were going to tell me that you were doing sound effects for the parents fight. And I would be like, that's quite an origin story.
No, I could do that. You know, you get a job. Oh, I'll do that when you start cleaning up around here. And then, boom, coom, 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 that's my dad going down the stairs.
That's
and
him going down the stairs.
That's him going down the stairs. Ooh, and then okay. He opens the okay. garage window. Psh, yeah. And then, boom. I didn't see him after that.
You know, he wasn't coming back. He drove way too fast. But that's cool, man. Like I said before, I'm fascinated because do you see them little videos where they are making the sound effects as the movie is going? So you see them like
cracking lettuce and yeah.
But I think it's more fascinating what you do because you're not using lettuce. You're actually doing it with your mouth.
Mostly mouth. It's a great tool, the mouth is. The mouth can do a lot of things. I can put a lot of stuff in my mouth.
Hey. It may be kids on this. Be careful where you're going with this.
No, yeah, I understand. I just want to let you know there's a lot of crazy things you can do with the mouth. You know, you can you can do like, you know, tie fight. You could do snoring, like you could do non-mouth sounds, of course, too, like car crashes, like
yeah,
like it's
Well, I noticed you added niche. Snoring. I mean, snoring is just that's just what you do. Like,
but like, think about that. When you're filming, you know, you're going to put a microphone up someone's nose. That's rude. The actor's not going to want to do it. I've seen actors who don't want to snore on camera.
So you snore for them.
Yeah, I'll snore for them. It's one of the things I'll do. It's great. I've actually had to be tapped on the shoulder in the booth to be like, hey, we got more than enough.
Wake up. You can leave now. You can leave. So my next question is there any moment in the movie that's maybe iconic or whatever that was like, oh, no, I had a big part in this movie? Or was there anything part of that movie that you can explain?
Oh, so many different times. I think my favorite one is the chase when they have Harvey Dent right in there and they're trying to move him in location and the Joker's chasing it. Yeah, that chase. Hans Zimmer spent a lot of time on a score for the chase. Then I came in, and as they were editing it and cutting it up, I was just going, and Chris looks at me, and he goes, well, you know, Hans, thanks for the score, but we're going to do this instead. So they ended up cutting it around my sound effects of doing, like, the Batmobile, like, that's all the different, like, guns, and as the Joker's, like, cycling through the guns, he starts with, like, a little gun, like, that's the bullets hitting, you know. So they were like, man, that's genius. And that was huge for me. It was like watching the pod race in Phantom Menace. Like, it's just sound.
And not only was it iconic, just the camera angles and everything like that, it was kind of rare that you see, like, normally when you see a car chase or something like that happen, there's music behind it.
Yeah. Think of all the Fast and Furious that you've seen. That's just constant music and car
music. But it was like, that scene, they paid more attention to the sound, right? Like, it's like you're really there. There is no music in a real life car scene unless you're out there finding it yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, I've, you know, had a couple Fiverr requests, and I don't do those anymore because my mouth sounds have actually contributed to some crimes. I'm not allowed to talk about it on the podcast, but
since you took us there, what's a Fiverr request you've gotten that you said, I don't want my mouth used for that?
I get a lot that's, you know, hey, this is what my grandma sounded and she passed. Can you like do an impersonation of my grandma
So hold on. So your expertise has grown exponentially right now because you're blowing my mind. Are you saying that not only do you do sound effects like for actual instruments or objects, you impersonate people?
Well, when the time arises, you know, because AI, you can shove that stuff in an AI engine, but you didn't used to be able to. And now, you know, I can add a personal statement to it, you know, like, oh, Heather, you were a tremendous daughter-in-law, and I loved you more than I ever actually gave you credit. And I'm sorry I threw that frying pan at your head at Thanksgiving. It wasn't meant to be anything. So, like, it's a real bridge, you know, for people sometimes where they can make someone in their life who they may have a contentious time with and then rewrite.
You don't think that's creepy?
No, not at all. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's creepy that, you know, Nathan Fillion and all these other guys are doing Calm on all those other apps and talking you to bed? I think that's kind of creepy, you know? You want Glenn Close to wish you to bed?
I think that's creepy. Now, it would be more creepy if they were impersonating dead people, talking to you, trying to put you to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I see the difference there. Yeah. You know what I think is creepy is, you know, Ouija boards. You want to listen to your dead relative and go to Ouija boards? That's creepy.
Yeah. Okay.
What I do supersedes the supernatural, you know.
Okay.
We'll get around that.
I like that. So
I also get a lot of requests to make office and coffee shop noises for people, you know, whenever the boss checks in.
What's an office noise?
Oh, it's a lot. You have to layer it in, but there's like a lot of.
Yes, that's just basic office noise is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like you to do something. Let's play a game.
Okay, great. Do you mind if I need to take him?
Oh, you get some water. It's okay. Yeah. You've been using your mouth a lot. It's all right to take a sip of water. You know what I'm saying? Is that a sound effect or is that just
good? No, it's, I got some lymph node issues. Okay. You believe it. So anytime I drink something, it just feels like lava. Sorry. What are we doing?
I'm gonna play a game. I want you to come up with your own scenario, whatever you want to call it. And I only want you to use the sound effects of this situation. And then I'm gonna try to guess what is happening.
Oh, this is fantastic. I love this game so much. Cut to a different scene, okay?
Okay, because I got that one. I know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, cool. Cut to another place.
All right, I got it.
Yeah.
I know the scenario, okay? Optimus Prime has came home. He drove home, right? He drove home, and then when he got in the house, he saw that there was no dinner cooked. So he ended up calling his wife, and his wife just so happens to be Charlie Brown's mother. So she was talking to him. They had an argument because he's like, where's the food? You know what I'm saying? Like, where's the food? I need my Oreo de Carbonara. You know what I'm saying? Where's it at? So she didn't have it. He hung up the phone and he said, fuck this, I'm out. And then, like, he started, like, the engine, because he can fly too. So
he
started the engines on his thing. You heard the doo-doo, the countdown, right? We cut to the next scene. Now there's, like, he's already taken off and he's like, he just flew to Bumblebee's house. They're having a conversation, like, hey, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to come holler at you for a second. Now the mom has to go back and tell the child, daddy gone. You know what I'm saying? Daddy's not here no more. So what the mom did was the next scene, the mom went on a date with Tim Allen. Cause I heard she went on a date with Tim Allen. And he was just explaining to her, well, you're not dating a real man. I'm Tim the Tool Man Taylor. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
Yeah. And I think that's what happened. And just, you know, at the happy ending was she found somebody, you know what I'm saying, that was willing to accept her as a person and stuff.
Oh my God. It's one thing whenever like one of your suggestions for sound effects goes into the movie and it's made into a real thing, but it's another to build something up from absolutely nothing and someone just get it. Yes, that's to a T exactly what happened.
And I was able to put that together because you are good at your job. I can see how this guy was able to get the Dark Knight job. I mean, it's so obvious to me.
Yeah.
If there's anything you want to tell somebody that want to get into the job you got, you know what I'm saying? Oh, what type of motivation would you be able to tell them to get them on the path that you were on?
I'll say this. If you have a dream, and if that dream is to stand over the shoulders of the giants of filmmakers and industry and to pretty much sound effects scat, for 12, 18 hours, then go do it. Walk onto a set. Ignore the PA. Ignore the lines. Go hover over a video monitor. Go, you know, climb over a Warner Brothers fence. Find out where the editing bays are and lend your craft. That's what I had to do.
Listen, this has been fun. I've never interviewed somebody quite like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the talent you have. So, you know, so for us at Novelize, we appreciate you for coming on the show today.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for shining the light on another job in cinema. You know, people want to get out there. They're like, where do I even begin? Begin with your mouth.
Well, thank you for joining us today, everybody. This has been an interview portion of The Novelizers. I'm Kevin Carter. I was here with Buddy, and you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Kevin. And thanks to this week's guest, you, Dave Hill.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Yeah. And Dan Ramirez. I never do this. I'm going to thank myself, too.
Please.
The Dark Knight may be over, but we've got one more special episode, and it's a stellar one. It's what happens after the film. And it's narrated by Kerry Kenny Silver, amazing, from Reno 911 and The Four Seasons, now on Netflix. I can't wait to hear that episode.
Yeah, that's going to be a great episode of the show. This show.
It sure will be. This one was a great one too, though.
For sure. The whole show is great. It's great.
It's a great show, yeah. All right, see you next time.
Bye. I had a good time. I had a great time. Thanks.
We killed it.
Nailed it. The Novelizers is hosted by me, Dave Hill, and produced by Stephen Levinson. Hey, Stephen. With Graham Douglas, Cole Emhoff, Kevin Carter, Christine Bullen, Dennis DiClaudio, and Rob Kuttner. Music by Cole Emhoff. Additional editing by Sunita Haberline. Graphic design by Crystal Dennis. Theme song by Andrew Lynn. Performed by Knotts. Additional support by Elizabeth Tavares. Distributed by Cincinnati Public Radio. The Novelizers is an AI-free podcast, written, narrated, and edited, and scored entirely by human beings. Can you imagine that? The Novelizers is a work of unauthorized parody. Follow The Novelizers on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and please support us on Patreon. Copyright 2026, Novelizers, LLC.
Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.